the blue light. One hit.
Let's go.
I'd like to call to order this meeting of the House Revenue Committee for Monday.
Rules.
Oh, what did I say? Revenue. Sorry. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the House Rules Committee for Monday, April 6th. And I would like to, I'd just like to let everybody here know we have a number of bills that we're going to be working on today. And because a lot of them are member bills, we're going to be going a little bit out of order based on member schedules. So with that information, I'm going to open a public hearing on HB 3042. And I'd like to call, Aaron, will you tell us about the bill,
yes,
please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3042 designates April 14th of each year as Honorary Artist of Oregon Day.
Okay. And we have three witnesses joining us at the table, Representative Deborah Boone, Trent Rollins, and Haley Rollins. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Deborah Boone, House District 32, for the record. And I have with me today Haley Rollins and her dad. And she's a student at Broadway Middle School in Seaside. And this all happened when I was asked to speak to her class. And one thing led to another. And one of the comments I made before I ended my talk to the class was, and bills can be an idea that someone brings to me or, you know, that end along the way. And she came up to me after the class and said, could you do a bill for me? And so I said, well, it depends on what it is, but I'd be happy. What do you have in mind? And she told me about wanting to have an honorary day for artists in Oregon. And you all are tired of hearing me talk about making STEM steam, and that's adding arts to it. So if you haven't read this bill, it's a good thing. It's kind of like a resolution, but it's serious too, and it talks a lot about what arts are, what art education is, and starts right out relating to the day, a day to celebrate the arts. And by the way, April 14th is Haley's birthday, so that was when I asked her what day she would like it to be, that's what she chose. But art education should not be an elective in Oregon schools, but a necessity. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Haley and let her talk about why she's doing this bill and maybe tell you a little bit about herself, because she is an artist.
Well,
and you have to give your name.
My name is Haley Rollins, and I'm in eighth grade at the Broadway Middle School. And I've been fortunate to live in an area where art is in the schools and in the community. I've had mentors that have helped me with my art skills and helped me improve. And I would like to honor them through this bill. I would hope that it can help art not only be an elective, but a required class. I would like it to help to give students the time to express themselves at schools and to explore talents they didn't even know they had. If we don't allow people in schools to have time to themselves to be able to create, we... Our society wouldn't be able to accelerate in inventing new helpful things.
And I think that she is maybe a little modest, but if you could see some of her work, you would be astounded. She's very, very talented. And as she said, she's lucky to have an art class in her school, but not all schools have art programs. And as anybody knows who's come up to my office, the famous Spam painting that I did, and that was after being, it wasn't really applied arts, it was more mixed media, archaeology, and because I was in trouble and sitting in this one teacher's office, but she gave me a sketch pad and some pencils and colors and things like that, and she also made me the point person on any project at what is now the Kennedy McMenamins Kennedy School. And the detention bar is where I spend a lot of time. So I will turn this over if Mr. Rollins would like to say a few words.
I'm just grateful for this opportunity to be here and to have Haley go through this experience.
Would you just mind introducing
yourself? Sorry, I'm Trent Rollins. No, I'm Haley's father. I'm actually a teacher at Broadway Middle School. I'm a math teacher. And I see with the direction and education, and the push for the Common Core testing and so forth, that a lot of the arts and a lot of those things are kind of going to the background and fading to the side, and the kids are pushed more to, take more math, and so some kids aren't doing very well. They're back into a second class of math, and they're losing some of those elective opportunities. So I'm hoping in the future that this bill might be tied to some future funding in the schools for arts and electives.
And I just like to mention that you'll see at the top of the bill, this is co-chief sponsored by Haley's Senator, Betsy Johnson, who would be here today, but she is in a committee right now. And hopefully that you will, and I should mention too that Haley pretty much did all of this herself. So I was just the Sherpa in this case, and I'm happy to be the Sherpa. And hope that you will give this your positive consideration and work this bill so that we can have it on the floor on the 14th, which is her birthday and the designated day.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Any questions for this panel? Okay. I'd like to go ahead and close that public hearing. And Haley, thank you. That is exactly the example of what we are here to do, is to represent our constituents. So thank you for bringing this forward. Okay, with that, I would like to open a public hearing on HCR 18 and invite Representative Gail Witsit to the stand, please. Stand. Perhaps not to the stand, but you get my meaning.
I do. Good afternoon, Chair Smith Warner and committee members. I'm Gail Witsit, and I represent House District 56, which is the southern half of Klamath and Lake counties to the California border. I'm bringing House Concurrent Resolution 18 to you today. This HCR is for an American hero, NASA astronaut Dr. Don Pettit, PhD of Silverton, Oregon. I was a classmate of Dr. Pettit's at Oregon State University, where we studied geology together in the mid-1970s, and we both graduated in 1978. Dr. Pettit was raised in Silverton, Oregon, and attended Silverton High School. He went to Oregon State University and earned his bachelor's degree, and from there he went to the University of Oregon, the University of Arizona, where he earned a PhD in chemical engineering in 1983. Dr. Pettit began a career as a staff scientist at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in 1984, where he worked in the fields of reduced gravity flow fluids and materials processing on board the National Aeronautics and Space Administration KC-135 Stratotanker airplane, studying fumarole gas sampling from volcanoes and problems in detonation physics. While at Los Alamos, Don Pettit was a member of the synthesis group tasked with assembling the technology to return to the moon and explore Mars in 1990. And the space station redesign team. In April of 1996, he was selected by NASA and completed his first space flight as NASA International Space Station science officer on Expedition 6 from November 23, 2002 to May 3, 2003. He performed 13 hours of extravehicular activity while continuing the external outfitting of the orbital outpost. Dr. Pettit took part in two additional space flights, including STS-126 Endeavour, which returned to Earth after completing 250 orbits of more than 6 million miles, and the Expedition 3031, which orbited the Earth 3,088 times and traveled more than 76 million miles from December 21, 2011 to July 1, 2012. It was on the flight which began in November 2002 that he was left on board the International Space Station when the Space Shuttle Columbia broke apart upon reentry to the Earth's atmosphere in February of 2003, stranding Dr. Pettit, Russian cosmonaut Nikolai Buterin, and American astronaut Kenneth Bowersox. They were scheduled to return to Earth in early March of 2003 on the space shuttle Atlantis, but spent 6 months on board the ISS while remaining U.S. space shuttles were grounded. On May 3, 2003, astronauts Pettit, Buterin, and Bowersox all returned to Earth in a high-gravity entry in a Russian Soyuz spacecraft, which landed in the desert. To date, astronaut Pettit has logged more than a year in space, to be exact, 370 days. He is still active in NASA's space program in Houston, Texas. In my opinion, he has shown extraordinary bravery in the face of disaster and continued to travel back into space for further work and discovery for the advancement of humankind's future in space. He is an example to which youth interested in science and technology can aspire, and a modern unsung Oregon hero. Dr. Pettit is a wonderful example of the best of Oregon's public schools and university system. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you very much, Representative. Any questions? Thank you so much. I'd like to close the hearing and open up a public hearing on HCR 20 and invite Representative Hack to the table, please. Okay.
I get it. Vice Chair Smith Warner, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jody Hack, and I am the representative for House District 19, which includes South Salem, Almsville, and Turner. I am honored and privileged to be here today to present to you House Concurrent Resolution 20, which honors civic leader, author, journalist, and entrepreneur Jerry Frank. Members of the committee, Jerry Frank, in my personal opinion, is an Oregon treasure. He deserves to be honored for his great service to his community, state, and country. He shaped Oregon's politics and is even called Oregon's third senator. Jerry fought valiantly in the United States Army in World War II. He has traveled to over 150 countries and has written two excellent travel books. He also writes for the Oregonian in his travel column, Frankly Speaking. Jerry directed and managed the first branch store of Meyer and Frank when it first opened in Salem in 1955. He has served on the executive committee of the United States Fund for the United Children's Fund. He owns the Conditorei here in Salem. And it would take a whole day to list all that this incredible man has achieved for himself and his fellow man. He is a jack of all trades. He has been a leader in civics, politics, business, and literature. And I am honored to call him a friend. Vice Chair Smith Warner, members of the committee, this resolution is a way for us Oregonians to give back to the man who has given us so much. I implore you to support the resolution honoring this amazing man for his wonderful achievements. Thank you for your time and consideration. And Representative Gilliam is also the co-chief sponsor on this, and he may want to say a few words. I don't know.
Prefer not.
Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There were some mumblings at the end of the dais. I'm very pleased that Representative Hack brought this, and we talked about this, am I right? A constituent of yours, correct?
Yes.
South Salem.
Yep, he is.
I don't know if there's anybody in Oregon that doesn't know his name. He is truly an incredible individual. The great thing is, I hope we will get him here if we pass this out and we get it on the floor, because he'll wear one of the most ridiculous, I mean, wonderful, colorful sweaters you've ever seen. This guy is 93 years old, and this won't surprise very many people on the committee. Gets more done before noon than I do all week. Still doing his book, still doing his cake shop, and still, this is the important thing, helping as many Oregonians as he possibly has time for. Incredible individual. What a great background. I will add this. Look up the story, if you haven't, of the only independent governor to ever serve the state of Oregon. His portrait is just outside the lobby there on the House side. And you'll find that it's Jerry Frank's uncle, Julius Meyer. And he knew him, and it's one example of the kind of tradition, the kind of mentors that Jerry had. And although Jerry's never helped public office. Representative Hack referred to him as Oregon's third senator. Incredible legacy and incredible current. This is not a memorial, friends. This is a very current citizen of Oregon.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions for Representative Hack or Representative Gillum? Thank you so much for bringing that forward.
Thank you.
With that, we'll close the public hearing on HCR 20, and we will open a public hearing on HCR 8, for which I am the chief sponsor, and I would like to call forward Sean Cruz to testify.
Good afternoon, Chair Smith, Warner, members of the committee. I'm very happy to be here today. We're going to have
You identify yourself, too, briefly
I'm
for the
Sean record. Aaron Cruz, resident of Portland. Some of you may remember me. I was Senator Avell Gordley's chief of staff for 6 years. And 10 years ago, in the 2005 session, I drafted Senate Joint Resolution 31, honoring the life and achievements of Jim Pepper. But that was only what we knew about Jim at the time. And what is happening now is a great, great Oregon story that is just beginning to unfold with HCR 8. Jim is far better known in Europe, in jazz capitals around the world, throughout Indian country, than he is in his own hometown, in his own home state. He was born in Salem. He grew up in Park Rose. And I only saw Jim one time, and that was about 1970. I was a music major at Sonoma State. And the thing is, I've always credited the fact that I was able, I only heard him once, and it was 32 years later before I even learned his name, that I was hearing somebody who was playing a saxophone in an entirely original way. I had heard lots of horn players by then. But this man was monumental, and he was like no one else. And when I met his family 32 years later, and his mother, Floyd Pepper, gave me a copy of Jim's first record under his own name, when the second track started to play, I recognized the sound of the saxophone. All those years later is so distinct. And can we show the exhibit now? And Jim's not going to pick up the saxophone in this. This is in 1992, International Jazz Festival in Raab, Austria. And this is the year before he passed in his Park Rose home from lymphoma. And here he is, Jim Pepper.
Thank you.
that's actually where we're supposed to begin.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Is there time?
Another
a little bit, so we show a little bit of that. Although I do have to say, well, I'll say it after. Go ahead.
One thing.
You must not forget me when I'm long gone, because I loved you so dearly, sugar honey. To we die, to we die, we die, yo. Hey, to we die, yo. You must not forget me when I'm long gone, because I love you so dearly, sugar honey. To we die, to we die, we die, yo. Hey, to we die, yo. Hey, hey, to we die, we die, yo. To we die, we die, we die.
Very nice.
Well, that saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
The saxophone and the hat he's wearing and the turtle shell rattle are all in the permanent collection of the Smithsonian in a glass case in the National Museum of the American Indian. And we are working on a proposal with the Oregon Historical Society to borrow those and other memorabilia of Jim's and to bring that to Portland. We've established the Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival in partnership with the Park Grove School District with a mission of seeing that Park Grove students get access to band beginning in the fourth grade. And so we want to really support education funding while we're talking about it. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. My first boyfriend gave me a cassette with that song on it. Yeah, I used to play it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met my second boyfriend. But anyway.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the committee? Can't top that one. Don't even try, Representative Rayfield. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
With that... we're going to close the public hearing on HCR 8. And we're going to open a public hearing on HCR 21. Erin, will you let us know what we're going to be listening to?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. HCR 21 expresses support for and gratitude to citizens of Compact of Free Association Nations residing in the United States. And there's your public testimony, Madam Chair.
All right. With that, I'd like to call up Lloyd Henyon, Fred Schaefer, and David Anatuk. And would you like to come up, too? We'll just grab a chair. Just come on up. Oh, she can come up. Yeah. Just pull it up.
Just pull it on up.
Oh, there we go. Here, we'll get you a chair. Yeah. No, it does not. Okay, and with that, Mr. Henyon.
Madam Chair, Representative Hoyle, and Vice Chair, Representative Smith Warner, and Representative Gilliam. I am Lloyd Henyon, and with me here today is David Anatok, Chair of the Oregon Marshallese Committee, and Fred Schaefer, the National Commander of the National Association of Atomic Veterans. And I'm a member of the CAN board, which stands, this button I'm wearing, it stands for the COFA Alliance National Network. And our mission is nationally to support the issues of the islanders who we did our bomb testing in between 46 and 58, where we tested some 67 atomic bombs. I want to say first that I'm deeply appreciative of Fred Schaefer of the National Association of Atomic Veterans and all of his atomic veterans in supporting the Marshallese quest to reveal the disastrous effects the United States bomb testing had on islanders. and how those tests were equally damaging to the American servicemen and women involved in the testing and cleanup missions. It was through Fred Schaefer and his NAV members that Representative Sherry Springer became acquainted with the serious and continuing problems of the people that the people all face from the pernicious effects of exposure to high radiation that still exists in the islands. The Marshallese people cannot thank Representative Springer enough for this powerful resolution, HCR 21, and it serves, in my judgment, as a strong memorandum to the Oregon legislature just how serious the consequences of our bomb testing has been in the Marshall Islands. Shortly after I hired a Marshallese woman to take care of my aging mother, I became aware of some inexplicable oversights in our treatment of this population. There are obligations that we have shirked that seem totally inconsistent with our treaty that we have with them. That's the Compact of Free Association Treaty. For example, I learned that we were treating our legal COFA residents, when I say COFA, I mean Compact of Free Association, like undocumented aliens and issuing only temporary driver's license cards. I felt determined to assist this community with navigating the pathway for passing a State of Oregon bill to correct this injustice. I want to once again express our appreciation, that's for the entire COFA population, to the 2013 Oregon legislature for righting the driver's license injustice by passing H. Bill 2517 unanimously. Seems to me that once legislators understand the injustice, they're with us. Because the Oregon legislature took action, our COFA residents now can live more freely among us, as they now find it a bit easier to get apartments, bank accounts, and even jobs. Our CAN group knows that a huge issue was the removal of the COFA neighbors from Medicaid in 1996. Many people don't even know that. They are taxpayers living and working legally among us. We also recognize that nothing was going to change due to the gridlock at the national level. Just like the driver's license issue, it is up to each of the states to correct this dreadful oversight. We believe passing House Bill 2522 once again allows Oregon to do the right thing for the health care needs. And in this case, doing the right thing is by far the cheapest thing. By discerning eligibility, Oregon will take important steps in correcting another important oversight that has been allowed to continue for far too long for these people to whom we owe so much. I ask each of you to join us in supporting House Bill 2522 as it moves through the legislative process. Meanwhile, I want to close by thanking Representative Sherry Springer for helping to enlighten all Oregonians about our past with the Marshallese people. And I thank each of you for being a part of the process and in supporting HCR 21. So thank you, legislators. And now I'm going to turn this over to my good friend, Fred Schaefer.
Just identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Madam Committee and Committee. My name is Fred Schaefer, and I am the National Association of Atomic Veterans National Commander. And I graduated from North Salem High School in 60 and joined the Navy shortly thereafter. And in 1962, the early part of 62, we, aboard our ship, went through security background checks, not knowing why. And they installed PVC pipe throughout our ship, which we didn't understand there. This is on the outside of our ship. And once we got it all done, we went out of Pearl Harbor, and it's a giant sprinkler. They turn it on, and it's a mist that floods the ship. And in May, we headed to Christmas Island. The first detonation, we were on our way of one of the atomic bombs. We got notice that that's where we were headed, to Christmas Island. The second test, they brought us out aboard ship. Anybody wanting to see this atomic bomb go off can come up on the deck. And at bright sunlight at Christmas Island, 11 o'clock, And they tell us, okay, here's some dark glasses we want you to put on. And don't look at the blast. And they'll tell you when to put your glasses on. And we did this, and you saw the airplane coming over, bright sunlight. You put your glasses on. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And when the blast went off, if you had your hands up in front of your face or if you were standing close to a man in front of you, you saw his skeleton or you saw your bones, a giant X-ray. And it sort of scared us. We had heard a little bit about the bomb. We hadn't volunteered for this. We didn't know anything about it. And just thinking to myself as we steamed away from the island, we were there for 12 tests, steaming away from the island on one of our trips back to Pearl, I said, we've got to have a clean bomb. My government wouldn't do this to me. And I found out, yes, my government would. And then since then, I found out about the Marshall Islanders. I wasn't there on the Marshall Islands. I've got a lot of people in NAV that have been, and I see the things that they are having, health problems, so I know what the Marshall Islanders have got. And I just like to testify for them, and we're fighting for the same general principles with our government to get recognition for a lot of us. So,
thank you so much, sir. Just identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is David Anatop. I am from the Marshall Islands. I was born in 1982 in Minnesota, out in a small farm county called Waconia, excuse me, and I was raised in the Marshall Islands up till I finished high school in 2001, and I went back to Minnesota. I don't know why it was really cold out there, but I went back anyway. And I moved to Oregon here in 2006, and since then I've been involved with the Oregon Marshallese community, being also a member of the CAN, COFA Alliance National Network, and as Lloyd and Fred has mentioned a little bit about CAN. We are here basically to raise up issues that are for these small islanders that are so small that you don't even see them on the map. Sometimes you don't even hear them when they shout out. But I'm happy to be here today. I think most of what's been important that's been said, and the resolution is well put together by the help of Representative Springers and the rest of the sponsors. We want to thank them again. And thank you very much for hearing us today.
Thank you. And did you want to say
yes,
anything to
I want to mention today, my daughter, Annika, she's here with us today. She's 9. And, I'm glad that she is able to join us today. Thank you very much for being with Daddy today.
and thank you for joining us. Thank you for testifying. With that, are there anyone else to testify on this particular resolution? Okay, and this is just the hearing, and all right, we're going to close the public hearing on this bill, HCR 21, and open a public hearing on HB 3348.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3348 designates March 10th of each year as Mighty Oregon Day. There is an amendment before you today. It clarifies the origination of the melody of the fight song for the University of Oregon.
Okay, with that, I will call up Representative Boone. Are you here for this?
No, she's done.
Oh, you're done. We've
already done them.
You've already done that one. Okay. With that, yeah, just come on up. I don't see representatives that are here yet. They'll come back. And then they'll come back. Let's see. Who would like to go first?
I'm Bob.
There you go.
Chair Hoyle, members of the House Rules Committee, for the record, my name is Robert Ponto. I'm the Assistant Dean for Admissions and Financial Aid and former Director of Bands at the University of Oregon School of Music and Dance. I've been asked to provide a bit of historical background on Mighty Oregon, and it's my pleasure to do so. In the fall of 1915, bandmaster, clarinetist, and composer Albert Perfect, born in Skåne, Sweden, and trained at the Royal Conservatory of Music in Stockholm, arrived in Eugene to begin his tenure as the director of the new Eugene Municipal Band, as well as director of the University of Oregon Varsity Band and the Eugene High School Band. Albert Perfect's granddaughter, Ruth Lyon, told me that soon thereafter, Albert gathered up his music writing materials, walked over to the nearby Mill Race, then a popular gathering place for the University of Oregon and students and faculty, and sat on its banks over a five-day period, composing for many hours at a time. According to his wife, Ethel, on one of those days, Albert suddenly burst through their front door and exclaimed, "I've got it!" What he had done, of course, was composed a brand new march he titled Mighty Oregon. Perfect later collaborated with UO journalism major John DeWitt Gilbert to create words for the new march. As composers often do, Mr. Perfect did a little test run of his march before its formal premiere. He snuck it into one of his Eugene Municipal Band concerts at the National Guard Armory on January 7th, 1916. Presumably, he then made a few tweaks before the official premiere a couple of months later on March 10th. While researching Mighty Oregon, I confessed to being perplexed by the subtitle that appeared on early editions of the sheet music, namely, The Tipperary of the West. I couldn't figure out what that meant. Perfect was from Sweden, after all, not Ireland. I studied pictures of Tipperary, thinking perhaps that the landscape of Oregon reminded him of Ireland, a country I doubt he even visited during his lifetime. Despite some unmistakable similarities in beauty and topography, I could not discern any concrete relationship. I had almost given up hope of finding any Tipperary connection when I experienced some welcome serendipity. While doing my research, I thought it would be enjoyable to listen to music from the time period I was studying, specifically from 1914 through the early 20s. It so happened that one of the recordings to which I listened was a collection of songs popular during World War I. And one of these songs was Jack Judge's British Army chart topper, It's a Long Way to Tipperary. After listening to it several times, it suddenly struck me that the chorus employed the same sequence of chords as the trio section of Mighty Oregon, the part we all know and love. Mr. Perfect had simply taken the harmonies from this popular song and fashioned a new melody to fit on top of them. I guess I had my own Albert Perfect moment, and I thought to myself, I've got it. We've finally solved the great Tipperary mystery. So musically, historically, and as a popular hit, Mighty Oregon has stood the test of time. As we approach the centennial of Mighty Oregon next March 10th, 2016, let us indeed gather round and cheer her and chant her glory, Mighty Oregon. Thank you for bringing HB 3348 forward. I urge the House Rules Committee to give a due pass recommendation to the Oregon House of Representatives.
Thank you. And Representative McEwen, would you like to come up and join us?
I would be more than happy to join you. Thank you.
I am delighted to be here, Madam Chair, and members of the committee this morning. I am Catty McEwen. I represent House District 9 down on the South Coast to support House Bill 3348. You're being handed a document that I created. When I brought this up with my family, they were very, very excited about this, so I endeavored to put together a little chart of all of the members of my family who have attended the University of Oregon, and they were very pleased that I could come and represent them today. What I have on my head is a 1960 freshman beanie belonging to my cousin Diane Thrift. I have with me today my dad's 1943 Letterman sweater. He played golf at the University of Oregon. My sister was a gymnast. My father-in-law was student body president. I was a slacker. I attended a couple years and then transferred to Oregon State, where I became an ag major and was disavowed any ownership by my family for a number of years. My brother-in-law coached at the University of Oregon for 7 years and went on to a football coaching career. But what I wanted to express on behalf of my family is just how iconic this song is. Everyone across the nation now knows what it is. It brings joy to many, many people, not only in this country but around the world when it's played. And it's a very important piece of the history of the state of Oregon for many, 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 many reasons. And I just wanted to offer on my behalf and my family's behalf very strong support for House Bill 3348. And I look forward to your support in joining me to pass this bill on the House floor someday soon. Thank you so much.
And Representative McEwen, I don't believe you've ever been a slacker a day in your life. All right, and sir.
Chair Hoyle, members of the House Rules Committee, for the record, my name is Paul Clifford, and I'm the Associate Vice President for University Advancement and Executive Director of the University of Oregon Alumni Association. On behalf of our 190,000 alumni, 25,000 members, and 22 chapters around the world, I'm grateful for the opportunity to testify here today. The University of Oregon Alumni Association exists to make the University of Oregon stronger by fostering lifelong relationships, helping Ducks become champions and cheerleaders, ambassadors and advocates for the university. Today I'm here to support HB 3348 to the importance of Mighty Oregon to the university and alumni community. How important is this song to Ducks of all vintages and the significance of rallying ongoing support for the University of Oregon both on the field and in the classroom? 100 years of continued use is a long time, and in that time, our song Mighty Oregon has become a unifying tradition which brings our diverse alumni community together. We hear it every Friday afternoon coming from the loudspeakers of Herb Memorial Union. We hear it at university events, and famously, we hear it when our nationally recognized Pac-12 champion football team scores a touchdown. The original words say something significant about who we are as individuals and collectively as Ducks. She is small, and I'm not going to sing this. I'm just going to read this into the record. She is small, our alma mater, but she rules with strength and right. What she lacks in mass and numbers, she makes up in her fight. Oregon is never beaten till the final whistle calls. Who can tell her tale of triumph? Scores can never show it all. At the University of Oregon, we ask if. If drives us, if is a starting point, if inspires us, if feeds our insatiable need to explore, experiment, mix things up, and see what happens. To make things in Oregon, America, and the world better for everyone. Today, we ask, what if March 10th, from here forward, became known as Mighty Oregon Day? It is in that spirit of excellence through innovation and use of our minds to move problems we face that separate our Ducks from the rest of the flock. Mighty Oregon captures this, celebrates it as it has for 100 years next March. It celebrates our past and anticipates our future. It tells us to press on to change the world for better. After all, that's what Ducks do. Traditions give us certainty of continuity. Our song Mighty Oregon reminds all that here that we are special people, Ducks by choice, diverse, different, and able. Mighty Oregon reminds us of our birthright and urges us on to future excellence in the myriad aspects of our lives our graduates excel in. Designating March 10th of each year as Mighty Oregon Day gives us a permanent place on the calendar to rally alumni, students, faculty, and many Oregonians whose lives are improved by the University of Oregon. Those of you who are proud of the University of Oregon, our alumni, students, and faculty, as well as you who are Oregonians who respect this institution of academic excellence and our superb sports teams of celebration of innovation and athleticism, please move HB 3348 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Representative Williamson, why don't you come up and join us? Okay. Then let's call up the panel. And thank you both very much for testifying. Here's the panel. It's all right if you're the least prepared. You're the representative, so clearly. I would like to point out that Representative McEwen came not only with a pin, but a hat and a letter jacket.
I have a garden gnome upstairs that I can put down and a cutout duck. Tom Bernard came to my house last night at 8 p.m. to make sure I was completely outfitted.
Actually, for the record, could you identify yourself?
House District 36.
And how would you like to start? Who would like to start?
Well, I would be happy to start. For the record, Chair Hoyle, members of the House Rules Committee, my name is Greg Leo. I was ASUO president in 1973 and 74. And I have to say I'm a second generation Duck. My mom, Ann, is class of 44. Hopefully my son will become a Duck this fall. Mighty Oregon is that song which brings us all together. It's a great history song. The fact that it's 100 years old, I think, is notable. The fact it's related to It's a Long Way to Tipperary, which is, of course, a very important song in the World War I, I think gives it even more historical meaning. So we ask today that you pass this bill to the House floor so that we can celebrate every March 10th as the opportunity to bring Ducks together worldwide and to celebrate Mighty Oregon. With that, I'd just like to say I feel honored to be with my fellow ASUO presidents. Three of us actually survived recalls as student government representatives. And those who want to talk about the experience can if they like. But we all stood for election. We're elected not just once, but in some cases several times. And in the course of things, we think, you know, made life better for the University of Oregon students. So with that, I'd, you know, pass it along to my colleague, Ben Eckstein.
Thank you. My name is Ben, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. I'm Ben Eckstein. I was the 2011-2012 student body president at the University of Oregon. And to echo Greg's sentiments, I feel like I'm the black sheep of an otherwise very esteemed and prestigious panel, and I feel very fortunate to have been invited to testify. I'm currently a law student across the street at Willamette, and on a related note, thanks for saving me from an afternoon of property today. This is a lot more fun. Music has a unique ability to bring people together and to signify the values and the traditions that we share as a community. Twice a day during the busy hustle and chaos of life as a student at the University of Oregon, students and all of the community members there share in a single moment when they are reminded of our membership in a broad community of Ducks that spans the campus and beyond. Ducks are a diverse bunch. We come from different places. We work in different fields. We speak different languages. We pursue different dreams and goals and passions. But Mighty Oregon, and it plays twice a day and reminds us of this on campus, is an emblem that celebrates Ducks of every stripe by reminding us what it is that we share and have in common. Hearing Mighty Oregon on campus rallies students not only to support our fine athletic teams, but also to take pride in all the positive work that Ducks do to enhance our campus, our state, and our world. The original lyrics of Mighty Oregon included the verse, "Who can tell her tale of triumph? Scores can never show it all." Being a Duck means more than winning games, although we certainly enjoy our victories on the field. It means living a life that furthers our values no matter what field we play on. Mighty Oregon is an anthem that ties together Ducks throughout a century, calling on Ducks wherever it plays to reflect on the positive impact that the University of Oregon has had all over the world and to do our best to build on that legacy. I urge a do pass recommendation to honor the rich history behind Mighty Oregon, the contributions of the University of Oregon to our state, and the shared commitment of Ducks everywhere to our alma mater. And again, thank you for hearing this today, and thanks to my fellow panelists. I feel really lucky to be on this panel.
Thank you all, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. My name is Emma Calloway. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Student Association, but today I'm here as a proud U of O alum. U of O is an ever-growing and evolving campus, and not the largest campus in the state of Oregon by any means, but a relatively small community where I had the chance to really grow up, to study, to debate, and also to get a little roughed up playing women's rugby, which I highly recommend. I was the student body president in 2009-10, and it's my pleasure to be included on this panel. 2009 was the first year in decades where the Ducks headed to the Rose Bowl, elevating Oregon's national brand. But at the same time, 2009 was also the year when the U of O started a really important trend of recruiting more and more students from underrepresented communities through a tuition assistance program that we call Pathway Oregon. And 2009 was also the year that the campus community came out in droves against a hate group that was attempting to recruit Oregon students, all happening at the University of Oregon in relatively recent history. Mighty Oregon, for me, is about the warriors who protect Oregon. And regardless of the arena, we not only produce football champions, but also entrepreneurs and Nobel Prize winners and compassionate family and human services providers and nationally renowned scientific researchers. I would say that activism, political debate, and civic engagement are the lifeblood of the mighty Oregon song. And not only will we roar the praises of her warriors, but we also sing the story of our history, a storied past that sets high expectations about how we use our pioneer spirit and hard work to provide for the community that we work to protect. UVO and Mighty Oregon are about unifying a diverse student population for the betterment of our society. And it is a wonderful feeling to be able to hear that song and know that it brings together a very diverse group of Oregon alum and a dedication to protecting Oregon as a state. So I will close in saying that each professor in Eugene gave me the academic skills that I needed, but it was the University of Oregon community, and Mighty Oregon embodies that in so many ways, that instilled in me a set of values to do what's best for those around me. And I hope that you pass HB 3348. Thank you.
Fantastic. Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, I'm Jennifer Williams, and I represent House District 36 in the west side of Portland, and I am the student body president from 95-96 at the University of Oregon. And Emma said that we went to the Rose Bowl for the first time in decades when she was student body president. It was in 95 when we went before that, so yes, it was decades. We're talking today about the pride that we all have in the University of Oregon and our fight song, and I wanted to share some of the reasons that I'm proud of my alma mater, including U.S. News and World Report ranking the University of Oregon in the top 2% of the best global universities, the top 8% of U.S. universities, and the number one among Oregon's public universities. In 2013-14, the University of Oregon won $110.3 million in competitive research awards, and an increase over 13% over the previous year. And Emma and Ben both mentioned this, but the University of Oregon alumni include 2 Nobel Prize winners, 13 Pulitzer Prize winners, 19 Rhodes Scholars, 7 Oregon governors, 8 U.S. senators, 20 U.S. representatives, and untold numbers of Oregon senators and representatives. The University of Oregon also totaled $2.3 billion in an economic imprint in Oregon for the fiscal year 2013-14, and that includes $1.3 billion of new economic activity in our state. So when we talk about the pride that we have in our fight song, I think there is plenty of reason to be very, very proud of the University of Oregon.
Fantastic. Any comments or questions? Yes, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are a number of people, a number of ways to hear the fight song, but I want to put on record my appreciation for a guy who welcomes me to the Eugene campus when I take the long walk from Franklin over the bridge to Autzen. And there's the guy with the saxophone with the open case before him that we throw our coins and dollars into. And he makes that tenor sax really, really go on that song. So I want to make sure we recognize that performance today, too. Thank you.
Fantastic. Representative Rayfield. From the fine city of Corvallis.
I wanted to note that I have some fundamental objections to this legislation. I question line 4, the use of the word rousing. I also question whether a day to celebrate Mighty Oregon is actually going to enrich or educate anyone in this state. I'd also like to point out that Representative Nose couldn't bear to stand the testimony and apparently had to leave. And so I have proactively proposed some amendments that are being drafted right now, the first of which will merely change the date to February 29th. The second of which will look to actually exchange the language of Mighty Oregon with Hail to OSU. And so I would urge other committee members to give those a serious consideration. So.
Thank you, Representative. But I'm sure that you would understand us, our reluctance to want to change this resolution to honor the fight song of our flagship university. With that, I'll call.
And just as a follow-up, is University of Oregon a land-grant college?
I don't believe it is.
Yeah, it isn't.
No.
No, but may I add something?
Yes.
We had a hard time putting the roof on the first building at the University of Oregon, so the local apple farmer sold all of his apples that year to finish the roof on the first building. So we have agricultural ties as well.
And not to make things completely complicated, but I think our committee administrator will point out there's already a set of dash ones, which actually we do endorse. The dash one amendments clarify some language about on the musical aspects of the song, and we would urge the adoption of the dash one amendments.
Fantastic. Representative Smith Warner.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And I just I feel obliged to commit that I'm not sure I can support this without an actual singing of at least one verse of the song before this committee.
And Senator Hansel is here.
Arrived just at that very moment. Thank you, Senator.
I'm not singing.
There we go. Here's
the word. Somebody's gonna, or I'm giving a courtesy no.
How about just the chorus?
Okay, how about just the chorus, people?
That'd be plenty.
Anybody who wants to sing along?
May I be able to testify?
Yes, testify first, and then we'll sing. Sir, we got carried away.
And members of the committee, for the record, Senator Bill Hansel from District 29. On March 10th, 2016, which will represent the centennial of our mighty Oregon, it was written and conducted by Perfect and played by the University Band, which was met with enthusiastic response and several encores were given. I can certainly understand why Representative Rayfield objects, because at the Civil War games, he hears the U of O fight song following each touchdown far more than OSU's fight song. In the past 99 years, Mighty Oregon was first introduced. This song has become an anthem and a rallying point for the U of O students each generation. By passing HB 3348, we established March 10th of each subsequent year as Mighty Oregon Day in our state, in time to celebrate the centennial next year. As Oregonians from a smaller state, we must be smarter, more flexible, more diverse, and more diligent to be successful. Oregonians are different from other Americans, and our great university teaches us to be excellent, innovative, and to think creatively to solve the problems Oregon faces. This spirit is embodied in Mighty Oregon, where we read, "She is small, our alma mater, but she rules with strength and right. What she lacks in mass and numbers, she makes up for in her fight." Designating March 10th of each year as Mighty Oregon Day gives us a permanent place on the calendar to rally alumni, students, faculty, and many Oregonians whose lives are improved by the University of Oregon. By celebrating this century-old anthem, we celebrate our great university, which calls us to do mighty things long after we leave campus and Eugene to make our mark on the world. For all those who are proud of the University of Oregon, and I've been referred to as Senator Duck a fair bit, proudly, I might add, our alumni, students, and faculty, as well as those of you who are Oregonians who respect this institution of academic excellence, and our sports teams of celebrated innovation and athleticism, please move HB 3348 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Comments? Song. Miss McLean.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Emily McLean. I'm here in my personal capacity today as a proud University of Oregon alum and also a former student body president, years 2007 and 2008, and also as an avid Duck fan. I know that you have heard a lot of testimony, but I couldn't avoid the opportunity to come and throw up an O and to say, go Ducks. I was invited to join this esteemed panel of good friends and colleagues who also had the opportunity to serve as student body president. And I have to say that a lot of folks think of the U of O as a big state university, but I have to say that having gone there, one of the best things about it is it feels like anything but. And I think that the University of Oregon is a really close-knit community that brings a small world feel to our state. And so to truncate my remarks, I will just say that designating March 10th as Mighty Oregon Day is an opportunity to celebrate the University of Oregon school spirit in a great way that acknowledges that small world feel. Because I think that wherever we go, it's evident that we have great school spirit, and I'm excited at the opportunity to speak before you today, so thanks.
Perfect. Thank you. And now a song.
Oh, wait.
I thought we avoided that.
Representative Barnhart, oh, heck no.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was afraid you were going to get
passed me, but I wanted to say I'm a triple duck. I have 3 degrees from the University of Oregon. I was never student body president, although I did run for student body president in 1968 when I was a first-year law student, and when I realized in my property law class that I was going to be unable to actually run a campaign, I withdrew. So that's why I was never student body president. But I wanted to add a couple of small details that I think people often don't think about the University of Oregon. It was a state-chartered university 140-some-odd years ago, but it was really a local enterprise. The townspeople in Eugene are the ones who put together the first building and who built it and who hired the 5 faculty members and who put together the Board of Trustees. The University of Oregon is an arboretum. There are trees from all over the world on the campus, some of which were thought to be extinct only a few decades ago, but found in odd places like central China and so forth. So those of you who aren't familiar with the University of Oregon might want to come and visit, if for no other reason than to eat lunch at a wonderful restaurant in the university residence halls, or to visit the arboretum and see the trees scattered out around the campus. I would strongly recommend it, and I very much appreciate whoever's idea was to bring this bill and to have so many student body presidents in front of us today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I want to give, actually, with that, great thanks to Greg Leo, who pushed this forward and coordinated everything, and everyone except Representative Rayfield really, really appreciates that.
Thank you.
And with that, now with the singing.
Professor, you want to lead us here?
you guys have to. I'm the conductor.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Oregon, my alma mater, we will guide thee on and on. Let us gather round and cheer her, chant her glory, Oregon. For the praises of her warriors, sing the story, Oregon. Unto victory urge the heroes of our mighty Oregon.
Very nice. That was fantastic.
That was great.
Thank you so very much, Madam Chair.
My own alma mater, which is in Ohio, we were so often not victorious in any particular sport at all that I'm convinced that probably nobody from my university knows their fight song. So I remember mine from high school better than I remember it from college.
Duly noted. Yes.
After that version, would you accept a motion for Representative Rayfield's amendments?
We're not work
Vice Chair, thank you for asking.
The question.
Thank you for asking. With that, we have some work sessions.
We're going to close the public hearing.
We're going to close the public hearing and open up a work session on
production committee measures.
Public hearing and work session on H.R. 6.
And Aaron. Madam Chair, members of the committee, H.R. 6 honors Wayne Oberding. He is the uncle of one of your colleagues, Representative Fagan. She could not be here with us today. She has asked us, though, to move this measure to the floor so they can honor him this coming Friday.
Come along a bit later.
Okay, and with that, I would accept a motion.
Madam Chair, would you accept a motion on House Resolution 6?
For a be adopted recommendation?
You would accept that?
Yes, I would accept that.
Then, Madam Chair, I move H.R. 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved H.R. 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Objections? With that, motion passes, and Representative Fagan will be the carrier. I would accept a motion and close the work session on H.R. 6. Open a work session on H.R. HCR 8. I'd accept a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment to HCR 8.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved the Dash 1 amendments to HCR 8. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, the motion passes. Accept another motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move HCR 8 to the floor with a be adopted as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 8 with a be adopted as amended recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, the motion passes. Representative Smith Warner, would you please be the carrier?
Thank you.
Close the public hearing in the works, or close the work session. I will open a work session on HCR 18. Motion.
Madam Chair, just before I give you the motion, you and I, because we were testifying in another bill, missed the testimony, and I am extremely excited about this. I'm pleased that our vice chair presided. This is a constituent of mine, and I think everybody on the committee was informed of several facts, one of which how much time this individual has spent for NASA and for this country in outer space. And it is my pleasure, therefore, Madam Chair, to move HCR 18 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Okay, Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 18 with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion or objections? If not, the motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Whitsitt, and I will close the work session and open a work session on HCR 20.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move HCR 20 to the floor with a definite be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 20 with a definitely be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, the motion passes. Co-carriers will be Representative Hack and Representative Gilliam, and I will close the work session on HCR 20. Okay, open a work session on HCR 21.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that HCR 21 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 21 with the be adopted recommendation. I believe that's what you said.
I would any be discussion? Glad to rephrase if you need me to.
Any objections? If not, the motion passes. And Representative Springer will be the carrier. Close a work session. Open a work session on House Bill 3042.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3042 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Do pass.
I've been corrected, Madam Chair, and I was just looking at my script. And I actually would rather move House Bill 3042 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, I would ask that the Representative Gilliam withdraw his earlier motion.
Representative Gilliam, Vice Chair Gilliam, do you withdraw your earlier motion, or do you want to make two motions?
I will withdraw my motion, but I'm getting very excited about the mighty Oregon Day.
With that, Vice Chair Gilliam has moved House Bill 3042 with a do pass recommendation after rescinding the earlier recommendation. Any discussion or objections? Not, motion passes. The carrier will be Representative Boone. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 3042, open a public hearing and work session on HCR 19.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, HCR 19 congratulates the 2014 University of Oregon Ducks football team on their Rose Bowl victory. This goes in congruence with House Bill 3348 to go to the floor at the same time. There is nobody here to testify, but we are moving it along today.
Okay, I'd accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I am so excited to move HCR 19 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HCR 19 with a be adopted recommendation. Any discussion? Yes.
Madam Chair, may I have some clarity on whether that is a be adopted or a definitely be adopted recommendation?
If you're asking me, Madam Vice Chair, it's just a be adopted.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
Harvard competes with the Harvard of the West.
Yes, that's right. Yes, Representative Rayfield.
Is there any way that we could include some language to congratulate them on their participation in the championship game this year?
Second.
We don't do seconds, though.
We don't do seconds. Oh, thank you for the request, Representative Rayfield. I can say definitely not.
That amendment's not
and
that
with that, any discussion or objections? If not, the motion passes. Who should carry it? Representative Barnhart, would you like to carry this bill?
Oh, I'd love to carry this
yes,
bill.
Yes, great.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, we'll close the...
I think it was Representative Nathanson's bill, though, wasn't it?
It's
was it
everybody's.
All okay,
yes.
All right.
With that, Representative Barnhart will be the carrier, and I'll close the public hearing and work session on HCR 19. Open the work session on House Bill 3348.
Madam Chair, despite the fact that March 10th is Benny Beaver's birthday, I move House Bill 3348.
Dash 1 minute.
And I would also like to say that I move to adopt the dash one amendment first to HB 3348.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved dash one amendments to House Bill 3348. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, the motion passes. I'd accept another motion.
Well, I've got another one, Madam Chair, and it's to move House Bill 3348 as amended to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Do pass.
You know, I withdraw the motion, and I instead would like, Madam Chair, to move House Bill 3348 as amended with a do pass recommendation.
Thank you for that motion.
You're welcome.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved HB 3348 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to correct one thing for the legislative history. Representative McEwen is no slouch to have graduated in agriculture from Oregon State. Some of the greatest Oregonians have graduated from agriculture from Oregon State. I'm supportive of the motion, but I just want to make sure that her self-effacing or humility doesn't somehow get construed as us adopting the premise that the Agriculture College at Oregon State University is anything other than absolutely stellar.
I agreed, and we're looking forward to another bill that we would happily pass through this committee if somebody would want to bring it up.
Somebody wanted
if it showed up.
Huh? All right. Any objections? Yes, so we'll get a courtesy no from Representative Rayfield. I was wondering, as your caucus leader, I think for your district, that's a solid vote. So we have to do the roll.
We
just say noted. One objection, Representative Rayfield.
And demand a roll call?
And no. With that, the motion passes. Actually, I think, Representative Barnhart, this would be a better one for you to carry, and we'll have Representative Nathanson carry the previous one.
So you want me to carry Mighty Oregon, but
I do.
But not the football.
Well, you have a good voice. You can sing it on
that's
the floor.
That's exactly
of the
right.
House.
With that,
okay.
I would like to thank,
everybody.
And no further business. Today, we are adjourned.
Madam Chair, I will be filing a minority report on this. Madam Chair, I will be filing a minority report on this.